Geek Juice Radio.
I mega faulted your mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geek Juice Radio, episode many. With us tonight will be Alex Jowski.
How's it going?
We've got Kevin Daly.
Howdy.
And we've got the very vitriolic Josh Hadley.
Hey, hey, hey.
Tonight we will be discussing? We will be having a discussion about television. The good, the bad, and the unwatchable.
To start, right off the top of your head, everyone, what's your favorite TV show of all time?
Favorite TV show of all time is Futurama.
I'm going to have to go with probably Max Headroom.
Kevin?
Oh, if I go by watchable hours, Futurama?
Yes, that's mine as well. Good for you.
I'm going Deep Space Nine.
Not bad.
Did bring up a list here. We're not quite playing the game, but this is a list for discussion points of the 25 worst TV shows ever. Now I'm going to read them off, and you just shoot out whatever you want when I read it. We have...
Hold on, Alex. I want to just please tell me, is Baywatch Nights on this list? Because if it is, this list is full of
Josh, are you telling me the man who doesn't like anything likes Baywatch Nights?
I will, after Alex's list, I will explain why Baywatch Nights is probably the most awesome series of the 90s.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. It'll be awesome.
All right, we have Commander in Chief on ABC.
I remember it very vaguely.
I do not.
Is that the one with Gina Davis as the first female president?
Indeed. Yes. According to the information we have here, it was on the air 2005 to 2006, a whopping 18 episodes.
That's still three times as many episodes as the Clerks TV show, which I loved.
We all did.
I don't know about Josh.
I'm being quiet because they say if you can't say something nice. Because I'm sorry, that was Kevin Smith going, I can do The Simpsons too.
I thought it was funny. I especially like Leonardo. But
that's some of the best DVD commentary I've ever heard, by the way.
I have it on DVD.
The next worst show we have is Veronica's Closet.
I think I watched that show for a bit. The heavyset lady.
Christy Alley. Christy Alley.
And Judd Nelson.
Nope, you're thinking of Suddenly Susan.
Am I?
And as I say that out loud, I realize how sad it is that I know that.
Okay, the Suddenly Susan one, I always had to watch the last 5 minutes because that was always on before Earth Final Conflict. So I always had to watch the end of that show.
Yes, that was the Brooke Shields show. And I'm sure we'll find that on this list somewhere.
And the heavyset lady I was referring to is Kathy Najimy.
Kathy Najimy.
Oh,
yes.
Because Kirstie Alley on the show was not that big yet, and that it was late 90s.
This was before she did her reality show, Fat Actress.
Yes, yeah. Before she actually became a fat actress.
I actually like Kathy Najimy, though. She's actually a pretty talented actress.
Yeah, she's funny, and she was pretty funny on the show. The show was bad, but she was actually pretty funny on the show. I watched this series for a little while.
I also had Dan Cortez, who I really only remember as an MTV VJ.
He was actually not quite a VJ. He was the host of MTV Sports.
He also starred in that Route 66 reboot that they tried in the early 90s that NBC tried for a whole 5 episodes.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Next we have Cop Rock.
You know what? Screw you guys. Cop Rock was awesome, and I'm not being facetious on that.
Then I will non-facetiously as possible say that Cop Rock shook my balls with its madness.
Have any of you guys actually seen an episode or just the clips on YouTube?
I saw it on its original run. I was in middle school, and all I can remember thinking is, what in the f*** is this?
Watch them again as an adult, and you'll see the prototype for The Shield. You'll see the prototype for The Wire. I'm serious. The pilot is a hardcore pilot that would have made Vic Mackey proud. If you take out the goofy songs, it was a pretty decent show.
But you can't get around the goofy songs. I mean, that's like saying stabbing isn't so bad except for the knife going into your flesh.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to defend the non-singing elements were actually some pretty damn good drama for 1990.
But I don't know if you can defend the Randy Newman theme.
All right, I'll give you that one, Kevin.
Stephen Bochco is an aptly named man.
My only clear knowledge of Cop Rock comes from actually was an episode of Radiodrome that you, Brad, and I cannot recall who your guest was that night, were discussing Cop Rock.
Allison, we had Obscurus Lupa on that because I sent her the whole series of that, and she nearly plotched when the series finale popped up. about Cop Rock, do you guys know how that show came into existence?
I'm guessing the devil was involved, sacrifice, something.
Stephen Bochco had a like 3 or 4 picture deal or series deal with ABC, and he wanted out of it. So he still had to give them 2 more series. So he pitched what he said was the dumbest idea he could think of, and they said, you know what, we're calling your bluff.
Well, if that was his intention, then he did a fantastic job.
He never thought it would make air. He never thought it would get past the pilot stage, which is why the pilot ends on such a shocking note. He never thought he'd have to actually follow it up.
And speaking of Cop Rock, the next show on this list is Viva Laughlin.
This one,
I did actually watch the show, one of the 2 episodes that actually made it to air. It is terrible.
I missed that one. That one you guys got on me.
And I love Hugh Jackman, but good lord, it's Cop Rock is like it's a cop show with musical. Viva Laughlin is like it's like a mob drama with music. It's Hugh Jackman doing song and dance.
Wasn't Melanie Griffith in that?
Yes.
Did she still look like a melting candle, or has she had that fixed?
I don't know that it can ever be fixed. Based on the pictures that we're seeing here, she does look very much like a marionette in the sun. And I'll tell you something, Hugh Jackman looks like Hugh Jackman's undersized, bicurious brother.
Pretty accurate portrayal, yeah.
Everyone knows him as Wolverine, but the dude's got a Tony Award, so...
And next we have BJ and the Bear.
It's a man and his monkey on the road. What's wrong with BJ and the Bear?
I know. My love of all things monkey prevents me from saying anything bad about this. I think this was a great idea. And whenever I can find the show, I will watch it. Like if I'm flipping through the channels, it's like, oh, BJ and the Bear. I will stay on it until it's over.
What channel reruns that? Isn't it Logo or something?
I saw it on TBS a few years back. I think like 99, 2000. TBS was trying... The Chimp Channel.
I remember that.
Yeah, and like BJ and the Bear was like the cornerstone of their lineup.
Followed by back-to-back airings of Dunstan Checks In and...
Lancelot Link, Secret Chimp.
Again, before my time, the only thing I can contribute is the Wikipedia article said that the Seattle, Washington indie rock group Minus the Bear derived its name from BJ and the Bear.
BJ didn't mean the same slang it does now, back then either.
I should hope not. Not with a monkey involved.
Next on the list is Cavemen, obviously.
Which I never bothered to watch.
I watched the pilot episode, became physically ill, and never watched it again.
The unaired pilot is actually worse. It's a totally different story, and it's actually worse than the version that aired.
It was a huge disappointment in Nick Kroll because in 2007 I wasn't that familiar with Nick Kroll, and I watched this I watched Cavemen and I was about to write him off. But then I like see him on The League and I've seen his stand-up specials on Comedy Central, and he's a tremendously funny guy.
My wife just informed me of something. I didn't even realize this. When I worked on the movie Project Solitude, BJ from BJ and the Bear, his daughter was in that movie. So I actually worked with his daughter, and I didn't even realize it.
What a missed opportunity that is.
If I'd have known it, I'd have had her autograph something. Or, hey, can you give this to your dad?
Can you give this to your dad's monkey?
I'm sure the monkey's not with us anymore.
Don't ever say that.
That monkey will live forever. Next on the list is The Ropers.
Oh, what a bad idea that was.
Yes, where was this when we were talking about spinoffs last week? Bad spinoff. And I don't think Three's Company was that great of a show to begin with.
Blasphemer. I love
Sorry,
Blasphemer.
It did not really do it.
It was better than Three's a Crowd.
I actually really like. Well, I guess I should say I like Three's Company when I used to fall asleep to it on the couch after school.
Well, you have an osmosis-type bond with the show then.
Yeah, that's probably it.
It's sort of that, Kevin, you've got that sleep learning kind of thing.
That's right. It's kind of absorbed into my system.
Kevin and I were having a discussion the other day about if you take Three's Company plus Bosom Buddies, you start to wonder, what the hell was wrong with landlords in the early 1980s?
I know, they didn't know sh**. That's probably why the Ropers didn't work.
Well, I feel bad, especially for the Ropers, because you have this guy that's lying to them constantly. Of course, what's with the issue of, all right, it's cool if you're gay and living with 2 women, but if you're straight, not cool. I know, he's not homophobic. Cool with the gay guy, not cool with the premarital living relations. Bizarre.
I know, like, theoretically, on paper, Mr. Roper was fine with him butt f***ing another man. You know, like, in his free time, but having sex with the 2 women and not being married, that's going too far.
Yeah.
It cut down on the chance of kids showing up.
I suppose it did.
True.
Unless the gay guy was a Catholic priest, then there'd be kids all over the place.
Ooh.
Like, literally all over the place.
Actually, the only time I ever saw the Ropers was they would play random reruns on Sunday afternoons when they would... Nobody watches TV Sunday afternoons. They would just show whatever crap they could pull out.
Right, they might as well have called it not football.
Yes, the off-season.
Yeah.
Apparently, the Ropers was based on the British sitcom George and Mildred, so they took a British sitcom and slapped characters from Three's Company in it.
I would like to say this, that it sounds a lot like you're saying and I think that works.
You guys are just making this hell on Alex for editing. You realize that, right?
He deserves it.
Believe me, I'm holding back.
Speaking of next on the list is Joni Loves Chachi.
Do you guys know why over, I can't remember which country, I think it was Turkey.
Korea.
Why Joni Loves Chachi was the most popular sitcom of all time there?
Because it meant Chachi. Joni loves penis.
That was a bad spinoff. But what a lot of people don't realize is that Happy Days was a spinoff in and of itself. So
what was Happy Days a spinoff of?
Laverne and Shirley, if I'm not mistaken.
Laverne and Shirley was a spinoff of Happy Days. Mork and Mindy was a spinoff of Happy Days, too.
I didn't know that. What was Happy Days a spinoff of?
It was a variety show. They were actually like just a segment of the variety show for a season. I cannot remember the title off the top of my head.
What a lousy segment that would be for a variety show. Like, here's a sketch about an idealized 1950s where there are no separate water fountains.
I don't know. I haven't watched the show in years. I don't even remember black people on that show.
I don't think there were. Well, the character of Chachi showed up late season in Happy Days, and I had heard of Joni Loves Chachi, but didn't know where it came from until I was watching a late season episode with my grandma one day, and I'm like, so that's why Joni loves Chachi.
That did take a while for me to figure out as well.
Spun off five different series. Laverne and Shirley, Blansky's Beauties, Mork and Mindy, Out of the Blue, and Joni Loves Chachi.
Out of the Blue?
Out of the Blue.
I think that was post-Shark Jump.
1979 series.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was post-Shark Jump then.
Next up on the list, we have Manimal.
You know what? If Brad was here, he'd be fighting for this, but...
I know.
I can't fight for him because Manimal was pretty bad. It was enjoyable, but it was pretty bad.
Last episode of Drome you did with Brad where brought up Jaws 3 and he's like, but it had the guy from Manimal! And he just goes Manimal.
Simon McCorkindale. And did you know that Manimal showed up on an episode of Nightman in the 90s?
No.
Yeah, same actor, same character.
I never saw Manimal, but the picture that we're seeing here has an actress who looks a lot like Rachel Hunter in the Stacey's Mom music video.
That would be Dale Arden from the 1980 Flash Gordon. That is Melody Anderson.
Serious?
That is Melody Anderson. That is Dale Arden from Flash Gordon.
At Flash Gordon sitting on my desktop. We'll be watching that this weekend.
Cannot believe that got by me.
Probably following a Joe D'Amato film.
Next week.
Kowski tell you about that?
Yes, I did. We're calling it the cult of Joe D'Amato. Next, we have Joey.
It was bad, but it was better than Friends. I absolutely despise that Friends so much. Joey was actually a better show.
I hated Friends.
This makes me happy.
I didn't really like Friends, and I didn't really like Joey at all. Because, like, that was the character that I would least want to get a spinoff.
Right.
The reason I hated Friends was pretty unfair. I hated it simply because my sister liked it. And
I hated it because it wasn't funny.
Because it appealed to the lowest common denominator, and that's why it was so popular.
But the real bad thing is Friends and Dharma and Greg, the only reason I've seen every episode of those is back when I worked at Channel 2, we would always go over the scripts for the news in the break room, and our channels aired Friends and Dharma and Greg back to back, so those were always on the TV while we were doing scripts every single day at work.
Did it take you more than one day to quit?
I lasted almost 4 years there.
That sounds like it should be like banned in the Geneva Convention.
That's a lot of Friends.
Next, we have a show that I actually liked, All American Girl.
You liked that show?
It was okay.
I like.
Was that the Margaret Cho one?
Yes.
Okay,
let me tell you something. Let me give you the comedian's perspective on Margaret Cho. She represents all that is wrong with comedy.
Are you saying
I thought that was Dane Cook and Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, I was going to go with Dane Cook on that one.
Close seconds, all. But I have a staunch hatred of Margaret Cho. She's a comedian who, a lot like Dane Cook, who sells an image rather than, you know, writes jokes.
You got a point there, because I did watch one of her more recent stand-ups.
She has just gotten worse as time has gone by.
It was basically an hour of her just saying, "I'm bisexual," over and over again.
Right. She, like, makes the audience into her gay best friend and just shares anecdotes for 2.5 hours on stage. And
I haven't seen her stand-up in a very long time.
Oh, her stand-up is abysmal.
Of course, I haven't seen All-American Girl in a very long time. It was only on for a year in 94, apparently.
Right.
I was going to say that was right after I got out of high school. I remember that show. Yeah.
Her stand-up is... She spends a lot of time comparing the differences between penises and vaginas. I'm like, you know, I've seen both. I know the differences, Mark.
I know, like, nobody is going to walk out of that theater saying, you know what? They are really different. They're practically
opposite. You're not going to walk out enlightened like you will at a George Carlin show.
Exactly.
Or a Henry Rowland show.
Exactly.
Gosh, that's the second time today you've made me sad. You made me think of George Carlin.
I love George Carlin. Oh, and if the George Carlin show was on this list, I'm hanging up on you, Jowski, because I loved that sitcom.
It should not be
me too.
On this list.
Yes, if it's on this list, I'm storming out of this basement.
That's yeah.
I saw Carlin live back in 98. He was awesome.
I missed that opportunity. I had a chance, and I was busy or something, and I regret it to this day. So
I was going to say, Josh, if you graduated in 94, you are not that much older than I am.
I graduated in 93.
Still, not that much older than me.
94 was the year I started high school.
You got 9 years on me then, Josh. I graduated in 02.
All right, the next movie on this list.
TV show.
TV show, not movie. Shasta McNasty.
Oh, that was awful.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this. I have to look this
one
up.
Oh, it was pretty bad. It was
Jake Busey.
Yeah, Jake Busey.
And Vern Troyer.
When UPN first started.
Oh, it was on UPN. That's why I don't know it.
Yeah.
I actively avoided all UPN programming.
Well, I remember whenever networks start out, they have the worst shows on TV for, like, the first year.
Fox didn't.
No, not Fox, because their first show was Married with Children, and there's nothing wrong with that. You had Shasta McNasty, like, Angel, the Buffy spinoff, and, like, the WB had a whole bunch of really bad shows, and Robert Townsend was in one of them.
Well, UPN could have done right since Voyager was their Star Trek. The pilot for Star Trek Voyager was their inaugural show.
Oh, yeah. And
the pilot episode of Voyager was actually decent. They didn't turn into sh** until episode 2.
But I guarantee you that was not on purpose.
It being good or them turning into in episode 2.
It being good. They let some quality slip through the cracks completely by accident.
Or the fact that they had a crossover with Deep Space Nine and Quark being on the show automatically elevated it.
That probably helped a lot. The next show on this list is The George Foreman Show.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That lasted, what, a dozen episodes at most?
10.
Okay, I was
good
close.
Guess.
10 episodes in 1993. That was shortly after the Chevy Chase show, and everybody lost all faith in television.
Next is a show we talked about last week, the Bob Patterson Show. Jason Alexander.
Oh.
Moving on.
Yeah. That was one of many shows that the Seinfeld sidekicks had and all died.
Here is clearly the product of a UPN programmer. Homeboys in Outer Space.
Featuring a very sad and confused James Doohan.
Yeah, I think he just showed up wherever his handlers pointed him, and he just read some dialogue, and then they took him back to the home.
Yep, there's a big rocket ship. I must be in the right place.
Kevin Michael Richardson was apparently on the show. And John Lithgow.
Really?
As Pity McPatpat. I'm hoping this, because I don't know anything about the show, I'm looking at the Wikipedia, I'm hoping somebody edited that and just added that in.
Unfortunately, no.
And guest stars, Gary Coleman, John Astin, Natasha Henstridge, Anthony Hopkins, Casey Kasem, Little Richard, George Takei, Burt Ward played Gerbil. I'm really hoping this.
Do you guys think his pay came out of the back end?
Yes, he really switched gears with that.
Or possibly if he got drunk, you could say he was well lubricated for the show.
Yes.
Next, we have that Pamela Anderson, Christopher Lloyd vehicle, Stacked.
That was, what, 8 episodes max?
18. Well, 18 they filmed, 13 aired.
Oh, I didn't even know that many aired.
Stacked because she has tits.
And she's right. A librarian or worked in a bookstore, something to do with books.
Yeah, she's lying on this DVD cover, which apparently there's a DVD complete series if you're interested. She's lying on a bunch of books, trying to be sexy, but it's, you know, 2000s Pam Anderson, so not.
It was just a really bad show. And I remember going back momentarily to horrible comedians, there's a guy named Elon Gould on that show. He's like a comedic abortion in his own right.
Next is Beauty and the Beast.
Which I actually have a strong affinity for. I thought Ron Perlman was brilliant.
My wife would fight you on that. Beauty and the Beast? That was actually pretty decent until they killed Linda Hamilton off like 3 episodes into the final season.
I know. If you want nerds to watch the show, you keep Linda Hamilton around as much as possible.
I never saw it, but I do have a unrational love for Ron Perlman. So.
And Linda Hamilton before she became a plastic surgery disaster.
Right.
Yeah.
A moment of silence.
Oh, and Tony Jay. Is that the guy I'm thinking of? Yes.
More than one Star Trek person's on that, too, like Armin Shimerman. I know Brent Spiner guest starred. They had a pretty big guest star list of Next Generation and Deep Space Nine cast members.
That's a weird marketing thing. It's like, okay, so we got sci-fi nerds watching the show. Let's throw everything we can at it.
I think my knowledge of that show was I had an after-school babysitter that was into it, so I was forced to watch many episodes.
I have some on Laserdisc.
Next, we have Double Trouble from 84 to 85 with Liz and Gene Seagal,
I believe.
Seagal.
Even I don't know that one.
Apparently, they're twins.
It was, do you remember the fictitious sitcom within The Cable Guy?
I've purged that whole movie from my memory.
That was a reference to Double Trouble, and it was the twins from the original Double Mint commercial.
I initially was thinking of TNT, that Mr. T as a lawyer vehicle from the late 90s.
That may show up on this list later.
That lasted like 2 or 3 seasons, too.
Next, we have UPN again, Harry and the Hendersons.
It was a bad movie, bad idea all around.
Well, this is one of many feature films that were made into weekly TV shows, and not one of them has been good.
Stargate? Arguably better than the movie.
Well,
Stargate. I'll give you Stargate Universe, Kevin. I loved Universe. I hated SG-1.
They're saying probably better than the movie, so...
Okay, well, I mean, it included MacGyver, so clearly that's not being judged on the same standards as the rest of these.
Well, yeah.
Here's the thing about Harry and the Hendersons. That movie came out, what, 1990?
87.
87. I was going to say that was late 80s.
Now, when I was going to film school in 99, we would often field trips to Universal Studios, and they have a special effects tour that is so outdated. And their Foley, where they show you how they do Foley effects, is with Harry and the Hendersons. And
I believe it still is.
And everyone's watching it going, the f*** is this movie?
My wife and I went to that last time we were, probably, that would have been, what, 2009? And I think it still uses Harry and the Hendersons.
The
you go into that bunker, they do the special effects stuff, and they do the Foley stuff.
Oh. They show you a bunch of blue screen stuff using Back to the Future Part 2 and E.T. and that Hitchcock film.
Yes, did you get to sit on Elliot's bike?
I did when
No, they've gotten rid of that.
I sure did.
When I was like 7, I got to sit on the bike.
They got rid of the E.T. ride.
Harry and the Hendersons, though, has the wussiest Sasquatch of all time. Like, I would like to have a dream where Harry is beaten to death by the bionic Sasquatch from the $6 Million Man, and I would wake up feeling refreshed and comfortable.
In the movie, played by Kevin Peter Hall, who was the Predator.
Right.
So, a little bit biased because Predator is one of my favorite movies.
Next is Aftermath.
No argument
here. They made a MASH spinoff? Really?
It was actually a continuation. It was how 3 of the MASH guys were dealing with being back in the world.
I can't imagine this being any good whatsoever.
It wasn't. Your imagination is accurate.
Bottom line, war is hell, but it was still funnier than this show.
I would agree with that. I'd rather watch a war crime than that.
All right. Well, I guess we move to a discussion here because Baywatch Nights is next on the list. Josh?
All right. Now, Baywatch sucked. Baywatch Nights was absolutely insane. Baywatch Nights is the perfect show for people like us. The first season, you got to remember, it's the same character that David Hasselhoff is playing as Mitch from Baywatch. Okay.
Right. By in this day, picture that we're looking at here, he looks like a wax dummy of himself.
Probably accurate. But so he's a lifeguard by day, and then the character of Mitch Ellerby, the black dude, the black police officer from Baywatch, gets kicked off the force, and he teams up with Angie Harmon, and they become PIs together. So the first season is basically just a really bad PI show with a lifeguard solving mysteries. But season 2 is where everything comes full circle. Got to remember, this is like 1996 now. The X-Files are at the height of their popularity. So Baywatch Nights becomes an X-Files clone. I swear to God, they become paranormal investigators, and you've got Mitch battling vampires, undersea monsters, mummies, vampires, zombies. He stops an invasion from evil space spores. He kills the leader of the Illuminati in one episode. They battle a Viking that's frozen in ice. They get transported to an alternate dimension where spiders rule everything. And then he goes and rescues people from drowning the next day.
Are you saying the show isn't probably not great on its face, but if you throw into the continuity with Baywatch, it makes it that much more enjoyable, it sounds like.
No, the episodes are just, they're really fun because it's not jokey. They're playing all this stuff very serious. I mean, David Hasselhoff punches Satan in the face in one episode.
That's awesome.
What would be fun is to watch that second season of Baywatch Nights with the concurrent season of Baywatch that year.
To see what he's doing the next day.
They had lots of guest stars. A lot of Baywatch guest stars were on the show. They even brought back a dead character. Alexandra Paul's character died on Baywatch, and she appeared as a ghost helping him battle Satan in an episode of Baywatch Nights.
Okay.
You sold me.
Yeah, I've got a couple things to say. First of all, I didn't know that it took that weird sci-fi turn, so I will have to give the show a second look. And second of all, the picture that we're looking at is a DVD cover.
I bet.
I didn't know Lou Rawls was on the show.
He actually writes the theme. He's only in season one. Lou Rawls only in season one. He actually sings the theme song. He has a nightclub called, of all subtlety things, Knights, right next to the Baywatch headquarters. Subtle.
The second thing about this DVD cover picture we're looking at, it is in German.
Yeah, because as far as I know, Germany is the only place that they were officially released.
It says, Dial Complete.
Wunstaffel.
I actually have bootlegs of the season one German set.
What do they see in Hasselhoff that we are not seeing?
They saw Baywatch Nights season 2 and said, this is awesome.
So it looks like your concurrent seasons or season of Baywatch are season 6 for season 1 of Nights and season 7 for season 2 of Nights.
The show season 2 is so good at being like a drive-in movie that the drive-in channel out of Canada, all they show is movies, no TV shows. Except Baywatch Nights.
Yes.
It's the only TV show on the drive-in channel because these literally feel like drive-in movies for 44 episodes.
Nice.
Next on this list, The Michael Richards Show.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he got his own show. This is
is that the one where he was a PI or the Secret Service? There was one where he was a Secret Service agent.
This is the one where he's a PI.
Tim Meadows and William Devane were on that show.
Yeah, well, William Devane never said no to a script that didn't come with a check attached to it.
Hollow Man!
Next show I have not heard of, but it looks hideous. Life on a Stick. 5 episodes.
Oh, that was another Fox one.
Even having American Idol as its lead-in couldn't save this sitcom about two best friends / slackers trying to get by working at a greasy fast food place at the local mall. Reviews of the show likened it to something else on a stick, and the show had the shelf life of a slice of mall pizza, about 5 weeks.
My wife just compared it to Good Burger.
Sort of the poor man's Good Burger.
Amy Yazbeck was on it, apparently.
I did see that. That's odd.
I like her.
If I knew who that was, I'd be impressed.
She was Marion in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
The next show on this list is that one that Kevin and I talked about the other day that sounded so awesome. The Secret Life of Desmond Pfeiffer.
Right? Did you guys ever actually see that show?
I did.
No,
but we're...
I really want to see it, though.
I mean,
I'm not exaggerating. Charlie, you can back me up. It is Abraham Lincoln, I believe, and he's his ultra sex crazed wife, who's played by a hideous old crone, and their black butler. And Lincoln is a total moron, and the butler is telling him everything to do.
Yes. Desmond Pfeiffer is Abraham Lincoln's manservant, and he was the brains behind his entire administration.
My entire exposure to this was I thought it was a joke on the Clerks cartoon.
I know.
I did not realize it was real.
McBride that plays Pfeiffer, too.
Yeah, Shy McBride is a good actor, and I will watch pretty much anything with him in it.
Dan Florek from Law & Order plays Lincoln.
And I would be lying if I didn't say that I enjoyed Desmond Pfeiffer. It was not that bad.
And the number one on this list was Emeril's sitcom. called Emeril.
That lasted 2-3 episodes, or am I misremembering that?
8 episodes.
8 episodes, if you can believe that.
Did they all air?
Yeah.
According to the information we have here, which has to be correct because it's on the internet.
Half a season later, bam, it was gone.
Yeah.
Charlie, are you in the same room with Alex?
I am.
Can you hit him for that?
I already did.
Okay.
One thing I did want to discuss was the TV game shows. Now, you still have your actual classic TV game shows on with just Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Right. New episodes are still being made.
But you don't have any shows like that anymore. But all throughout when I was growing up, there was a new game show every single week.
Well, there was a big boom in game shows in the early, almost all the way through the 80s. And then they died off for a while, but then they came back in a huge way around the turn of the century, around 99-2000. Because pretty much Regis Philbin and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire kicked the door open for a lot of crappy game shows to come on the air.
But then you also, there are still new ones coming out, but they're on the game show channel.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because I always watch the game show channel every October because they always have Elvira hosting a couple of those things.
There were some really just cheap, shoddily produced, low-stakes game shows that my daughter was watching the other day. I can't remember which channel, but it was like a game show for the game of life. And these were all game shows based around board games. And they were just horrid. And the winning contestant walked away with, like, pocket change.
Yeah. Like, here's cab fare to go home. Congratulations.
Speaking of which, well, here's Cash Cab.
I was just about to say, Cash Cab is kind of a game show, sort of.
I enjoy Cash Cab.
That is the closest, because the closest you get to game shows on your network channels nowadays, they're all reality-based game shows, like Fear Factor.
And they're way overhyped, like Minute to Win It.
Oh, that was terrible.
With Guy Fieri, who is a quasi-human demon.
Do you remember that one with Penn Jillette on NBC a couple of years ago?
Yep.
Identity or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty much like Guess Who...
Right.
Only thing that could have made that show worse was if they had chose Teller. On a quick side note, have any of you ever actually heard Teller speak?
I have.
Yeah, once on Tosh's show.
And on The Simpsons.
Check out the movie Penn and Teller Get Killed. He has an entire monologue in that.
Does he?
While hanging upside down. I guess the fact that it's called Penn and Teller Get Killed, it's not a plot spoiler that they both end up getting killed.
Right after
Penn gets killed and he goes into this long-ass monologue as the credits roll before he puts a gun in his mouth.
But I did bring a list of TV game shows here. It's the worst, but we'll briefly go over it here. We've got Classic Concentration, which I remember that show.
I do not.
This was the one that Alex Trebek did not talk about at parties.
It was Memory.
It's like, hey, don't you host Classic Concentration? No, I host Jeopardy. Foolish child.
Then there was Card Sharks.
I remember
Card
Sharks.
Shark.
It was especially good when people couldn't do math and they ended up passing the winning card to the next person because they didn't add it right in their head. I always liked that.
According to this, Card Sharks was on the air until 2002.
Yes,
and it's technically still airing on Game Show Network in rerun form.
Damn.
Yeah, because I saw a rerun of Card Sharks on Game Show Network and it had a little trivia portion. And the question had been, what is the largest bone in the human body? And...
penis.
The woman had guessed the tibia, and they're like, no, that's wrong. Next person guesses the labia.
Heyo!
If your labia is a bone, you're doing it wrong.
I had myself a pretty long bone in a labia.
Even if we want to call it a bone, if it's bigger than any of the other bones, you've got another problem.
Right.
Next was The Weakest Link.
One of the most annoying television shows in history.
They ran that show at one of the stations I worked for too, so that was always on in the background as well.
It was like the most sour, angriest game show host. You suck, get the fuck out.
I know, once you get past the gimmick of that, then it's just a stupid show.
And next was One Versus 100.
If you ever
That's only a couple of years old, isn't it?
Yeah. Debuted in 2006 and ran until 2008.
Okay.
And all I remember are long silences because Bob Saget could not curse. And since he didn't have anything else to say, there were just long, awkward silences.
I hated One Versus 100 for the same reason I hated Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Because for a trivia show where they're answering trivia questions, they would spend the entire span between commercial breaks just trying to figure out the answer to one question.
I know, and they would liken it to anecdotes from their actual lives. It was like a white people's just boring version of Slumdog Millionaire.
And it was just like one person having an inner monologue trying to figure out who was that musketeer.
Let's see. My brother is from Montana, so I know that's not the answer. I remember he would always wake up in the morning and he would make eggs and we would all have some. And he would use Tabasco sauce. And I'm sorry, what was the question?
Don't forget the lyrics better beyond this. I actually had to sit through an episode of that at the laundromat once. It was they had one of those TVs that it was so high up and with no remote that you couldn't change the channel. Oh, and I forgot to bring a magazine or something. So I just sat there and I'm like, "Who is this guy with the spiky hair? I mean, I knew him from something, and these people are so stupid."
He was the dude from Sugar Ray, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
was
it was.
Was it Mark McGrath?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was. And that's one of the most frustrating shows for me to watch. Like, I will have a seizure. Because, like, for going on 7 years now, I've been professionally hosting karaoke, so I know lyrics to a whole bunch of songs. And whenever someone doesn't know, I would just be throwing a tiny fit inside.
My wife and I were at a pizza parlor once, and they had on a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I can't remember if it was the network edition or the syndicated one. And one of the questions just had me... It just set me off. It was, where did Lee Harvey Oswald shoot John F. Kennedy from? And I'm going, well, that's if you accept the official story that Oswald was the assassin. The question is flawed straight out.
I'm sorry, I can't answer this honestly.
It's like, well, Oswald wasn't the shooter, so none of the answers are right. And my wife's like, oh, just calm the f*** down.
This show is a travesty.
I thought it was like Kevin and I edited Wikipedia, actually, the other day, because we'd looked up this thing.
I saved the internet.
It was a list of, I can't remember what the Wikipedia article was.
It was duels.
It was famous duels, and it had duels in mythology, and it listed David and Goliath, and somebody had put, David and Goliath really happened. No, it didn't, Kevin. You need to fix this.
Well, I clicked the link to see if they had any historical basis.
Was it blue?
Was the link blue so you could click it?
I believe the edit link was blue. But I was looking, because I clicked on the David and Goliath. I'm like, well, maybe they have some sort of historical sources that corroborate some of the evidence. Nope, nothing. It's all just about the Bible. I'm like, nope, deleting this line.
But we're off topic here. The next on the worst game show. Yeah, much to Kevin's chagrin. Legends of the Hidden Temple.
I love Legends of the Hidden Temple.
I don't even know this one. Is this one that I'm just too old to have
gotten?
It
was a Nickelodeon show.
Game show. When I was a
That's
kid.
That's why.
Yeah, you were too old.
Yeah, I think more often than not, the prize was the Sega Genesis.
Yeah. They should have had that Nickelodeon video game show on here.
Nick Arcade?
Yes, I hated that
show. I remember watching Nick Arcade, and I had just learned what a green screen was. And the whole time I'm sitting there watching that show, I'm like, this has got to f***ing suck for the contestants.
And you see them, like, staring and stumbling around.
Yes, I'm like, they are interacting with nothing. With tennis balls.
Do you guys remember Starcade? I mean, you might have seen it in reruns, but you're obviously all way too young. Do you remember Starcade?
No. 1980 or 81.
It was a Saturday morning game show for kids and teens where they would compete on like Galaxon machines. You'd have 45 seconds to get the highest score on Galaxon or Space Invaders. And this was a game show. They would play coin-op games against each other for points.
So it was the kind of show where your friends are like, dude, I got to get on this show.
Yes, except it was shot in California and, you know, we lived in Wisconsin.
Oh, that didn't stop me. I lived in Colorado. That didn't stop me from saying, I got to get on this show.
Next, we have Sale of the Century. Don't know that show.
We got to move on. We got to move on to the next one because it's a show that I loved.
Distraction?
Yes. The Comedy Central game show. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I know this one. This is the one where they like are constantly like putting like clothespins on their face.
Yes. There was one episode where these people had to answer questions while getting tasered.
And it was actually
it's not Japanese.
It is not Japanese. In fact, it was hosted by a British man.
Yeah, Jimmy Carr.
Yeah, and I remember the end, like the grand prize for the contestant that made it to the end was a new car. But they'd have to look at the car and answer questions, and for every wrong answer, they would like throw like a whole bucket of paint on the windshield or smash in the doors with a sledgehammer.
Well,
like,
my wife and my son, some days when I get up, they're watching Let's Make a Deal, and I'm like, why?
That show's still on.
Yeah, that's still on. It's hosted by some unfunny black dude from a whole bunch of comedies.
Eddie Murphy?
Younger.
Couldn't resist that, could you?
What's his face?
Next on here, we don't have Don't Forget the Lyrics. We have The Singing Bee, which was the same thing, just hosted by Joey Fat One.
I don't even remember that one. I don't remember.
Singing Bee was awful. It was like Siegfried was Roy one, without magic.
Which was the one hosted by Wayne Brady?
Oh, yes, there was that other one.
Damn, what was it?
And there's also one that they...
Okay, how many shows could there have been about song lyrics?
There's also another one that's on the Country Music Channel that's just all country songs.
I think it's still Don't Forget the Lyrics, but it's just country version. Or Singing Bee country version. Oh, Wayne Brady was the original host of Don't Forget the Lyrics.
Ah.
So.
Oh, it was probably the Sugar Ray guy for the syndicated version then.
That's my guess, yeah.
Next we have... Well, the next two are basically the same show anyway. Shop Till You Drop and Supermarket Sweep.
Loved those shows.
I worked at a grocery store at the time those were on, and I loved watching them wreck those shelves on Supermarket Sweep.
I watched them on Lifetime.
I watched them when they were syndicated still, because my mom used to watch them.
On PAX.
Does Bowling for Dollars count as a game show?
That should be on this list.
That's why I can't remember if that would count as a sport or not.
Next is Win, Lose, or Draw. I remember that show.
That was definitely while I was growing up, yeah.
That was Pictionary, the TV show.
Yes, TV competitive Pictionary.
I know, they tried to make Pictionary a spectator sport, and it didn't quite work.
Now we have Dog Eat Dog, not familiar with.
That's that awful show where you have the two teams... Yeah, you had to do, like, these stunts, basically. I don't know how to describe it. It was on Cartoon? No, it wasn't. It was on some network it didn't belong on.
Okay, was Michael Vick ever on this show?
No.
You know, Charlie, would you stop dogging him? I mean, he's just a little puppy, really.
Next, we have Identity, which we discussed.
And there's a really creepy picture of Penn Jillette just holding out his hands. It's weird. He looks like a child molester Jesus.
And then we have Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
I don't remember that at all.
It was on VH1. I used to watch Rock and Roll Jeopardy a lot, and my favorite episode had Joe Walsh, and he did not attempt to answer a single question.
Next is Amnesia, which was hosted by Dennis Miller. That should say a lot there.
I do not remember that at all. Dennis Miller is the biggest disappointment for me, because in the early days... of the stand-up, and even when he was doing Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, I really liked Dennis Miller. And he had his own talk show, which was really crap. He knew it was crap. Then he had a show on HBO, which was awesome. But then as soon as he started doing commentary for Monday Night Football, everything just went to shit.
No, it was 9/11. He lost his mind after 9/11. He became a hardcore right-wing conservative because he, according to one of his stand-ups, he saw we truly weren't safe in this country anymore and that he shouldn't be joking about things that endanger people's lives.
Which is just ridiculous.
So yeah, he became a hardcore right-winger. 9/11, he cracked during 9/11.
It was weird. Like, at the same time, Dennis Miller and Bill Maher must have passed each other going in opposite directions. Because pre-9/11, Dennis Miller was way liberal and Bill Maher was very conservative.
Well, I just want to get on Real Time sometime and have Bill Maher autograph my Max Headroom DVD set because he was in an episode of that and I want to see him kick me off the show for that.
Nice.
Next, we've got Scrabble, which was hosted by Chuck Woolery.
Another man that wouldn't say no if a check was attached.
Yeah. Yep. The Love Connection.
Greed?
Chuck Woolery. We'll be back in 2 and 2, because that's how long it takes me to run to the bank and cash this.
Yep. He was pretty much a glorified pimp.
Did you ever see him in his exploitation movie days?
Oh, no.
Are you s***ing me?
No, I'm not. He used to be in a bunch of exploitation movies.
Oh, we're looking it up right now.
Yeah, you think I'm lying, don't you? I'm not.
Give me the year to look for, Josh.
Mid-70s. I'm trying to... The movie had... Not Shark's Paradise.
The Treasure of Jamaica Reef?
Treasure of Jamaica Reef, and then that had an alternate title called Evil in the Deep, where they re-edited the movie, added a bunch of shark footage right after Jaws, and then tried to pass it off as the treasure is cursed and anyone that goes after it dies. And yeah, Chuck Woolery is one of the explorers. He's a good guy.
That is wonderful.
I have both versions of that movie on my computer right now.
Oh, I want this knowledge to always be in my life.
Next, we have My Dad is Better Than Your Dad, hosted by Dan Cortez.
Hey, Dan Cortez again.
Everything he touches turns to sh**.
I don't remember him at all, or that show at all.
Next, we have another show nobody will remember, Set for Life, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel.
I don't remember that one. I do remember Ben Stein's Money with Jimmy Kimmel.
That would have been after when Ben Stein's money and after the Man Show.
Yeah, 2007. It was just Jimmy Kimmel collecting paycheck. Next, yeah. We have Hole in the Wall.
And Jowski's mic just started sounding like ass.
This show's called Hole in the Wall.
Which might explain why it sounded like ass.
Are we talking
you're
a glory hole?
The hole in the wall?
This show had no glory.
Next show was Bowling for Dollars.
There we go, Josh.
That's one I always remember. I never watched, but it was always, hey, that's on, click.
That is official vindication that bowling is a sport.
And then we have Temptation.
I don't know that one.
Me neither. Next is The Moment of Truth, which...
was hosted by Mark Wahlberg. Are you f***ing me?
I remember this show because Martha tried to create the home version of this show, which ruined our marriage.
I was about to say, if Fox did it, it would really come down to figuring out whose baby it is.
And hosted by Mari Povich.
Yep. Question number four. Are you the father?
Well, hey,
did
you...
Did that also ruin your marriage, Jessica?
Hey, would you guys consider There's Something About Marion to be a game show?
Nice.
Next is The Chair. That was the show where they put the person in the chair and then they would just like throw knives at them and fire and you had to just keep your pulse at a certain level.
I remember that.
I'm sure the liability waivers on that were insane.
Next is Yahtzee. That would make a great game show.
It brings all the excitement of dice into your home.
I didn't even know they made a game show of Yahtzee.
Yeah, it was bad.
Next, the number one on this list is actually a G4 game show called Hurl.
Is it about puking?
Yes.
It certainly looks like it.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow, I was just trying to be a smartass. I didn't think I was accurate with that.
This new game show goes beyond the gross factor as contestants not only have to eat all manner of disgusting food, but they are then subjected to vomit-inducing challenges in an effort to see who will toss their cookies first. Those with an iron constitution can walk away with prize money. Goddamn.
And likely a tummy ache.
People will want...
And likely botulism.
Yep. Botulism, the game show.
Sponsored by Pepto-Bismol.
Botulism, the game show. That would be the British version.
So it's basically, they would say to somebody, here, guzzle down this bowl of donkey spunk, and then ride the tilt-a-whirl.
It's botulicious.
And I think that is our time for tonight.
So we have talked about bad TV.
And we talked about Baywatch Nights, so shut up.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm seriously going to have to take another look at Baywatch Nights. I had no idea it took that kind of a turn.
Go and YouTube the opening sequence of season 2, and you will see the awesomeness that I am referring to.
In the UK.
This is easily the best thing I've ever seen.
You guys thought I was exaggerating, didn't you?
The skull rotating, bad 90s font. A werewolf head, why?
Gargoyles.
Some direct X-Files ripping off.
A werewolf.
Yes.
And then Donna D'Errico for some reason. Gregory yelling no. Pretty awesome.
The nights will never be the same. So now, you guys see I was not kidding when I told you how awesome Baywatch Nights Season 2 is.
I would probably like that better than X-Files post leaving Vancouver, when they stopped filming it in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I actually liked the Robert Patrick years. I actually thought Robert Patrick was a decent replacement. And when you got away from the arc stuff and just the standalone stories, I thought the Robert Patrick and Scully stories were okay.
I stopped watching mostly because the mood was gone. When you start shooting in Los Angeles and there's like palm trees all of a sudden, lost some of the mood.
Season 8 had some really good episodes, and Season 9 had a couple of really good. You just have to find the standalones. You can't find one that's a continuity-based episode because those all sucked.
So I'm guessing if it had gone on in season 3, they would have taken a turn more towards like Quantum Leap.
That would have been awesome.
Where like David Hasselhoff has to right the wrongs of the past. That I would have watched that.
Did you guys know that the X-Files is connected to a short-lived Fox series called Strange Luck?
I've never heard of that.
I think I do remember that.
I
remember hearing something about that.
D.B. Sweeney had his superpower was he was just extremely lucky. And his old college roommate was a guy named Fox Mulder, and he said he now works at the FBI. And David Duchovny did an audio cameo on leaving a message on his voice on his answering machine once.
Huh.
So Strange Luck takes place in the same universe as The X-Files, which takes place in the same universe as Millennium.
Millennium, yeah. And also the Lone Gunman.
And the Gunman, yep.
There was a guy named Jimmy Bond.
Yep.
I remember that. And a female character whose name was an anagram for Lee Harvey Oswald.
Eva Del Harlow.
Yes. I remember
and then,
that.
Yeah, do you know what the biggest web of spinoffs is? Either the David E. Kelly stuff with The Practice or All in the Family. They both, I think, come in right about the same as each other.
Yeah. There was one show that I think they filmed a pilot and it's never been aired. And as far as I know, every copy that was ever made is now destroyed. But it was a Clerks sitcom.
Yep.
With Jim Brewer playing Randall, and I'm not even kidding, Jeff Anderson playing Dante.
Actually, Kevin Smith has it. He said almost $400,000 of his own money to buy it back from ABC after they made it, and he said he destroyed it with a hammer.
That is money well spent.
So he just wanted to make sure no one ever saw this. And for a while, he even was trying to promote it. It was one of the original extras that was going to be on the 10th anniversary of Clerks DVD. It was in the original announcement that it would have the unaired TV pilot, and then all the further announcements, it was never mentioned again.
Do you think it might be an Easter egg somewhere? Because I have that 3-disc set, and I have searched it top to bottom. I've not been able to find it.
No, it's not there, but stuff like that happens all the time, such as, do any of you guys have the JFK DVD set or the JFK movie, Oliver Stone one?
Yeah.
Look at the back of it. It says that there's a History Channel documentary from the 90s included. Funny how it's not on there. The Laserdisc has that special, but they lost the rights somehow between printing the packaging and pressing the DVD.
God damn.
There's a Moonlighting Season 1 and 2, which is one set, has a blooper reel as one of the only extras. It's not on there.
Moonlighting was a fantastic show, by the way.
Not the later years.
Not the later years, no. But first couple years, I used to watch it all the time.
Don't watch the DVDs, though. That's another one of those music issues. Half of the episodes have had all the music removed, including references to the music.
So the licensing agreement... Wait a minute. References to the music?
Yeah, because at one point, they're playing like the music from Showdown at the OK Corral in like the second or third episode, and David looks at the camera and goes, I love this movie. But now it's just stock music, so his reference to the camera makes no sense.
Damn. So you can't see Stairway to Heaven without... without breaching some kind of licensing agreement?
Right. Well, did you ever see what they did to Hunter? That's even worse.
The Fred Dreyer show?
Yeah. In the pilot episode, near the beginning, he pulls over a woman that's listening to like Journey or something on her stereo. They said it was too difficult to overdub it, so they just cut the entire scene.
I was not aware of that.
Tour of Duty lost all their music, including the opening theme song, which was Paint It Black by the Stones. There's even one point where a guy is listening to the radio. He was supposed to be listening to a song by the Animals, and he's dancing and singing to it, but the music is now just like stock opera music that he's dancing to in Numb.
Dancing,
you go, wait, what? Yeah, it's just sickening what they do sometimes with the music licensing bullshit. And like with 21 Jump Street, the credits always credited in the opening credits, the music, you know, all music tonight by the B-52s or all music by X. They've lost all the music, but they didn't change the credits at all. So the credit still says all, you know, music by the B-52s, and there's not one B-52 song in the f***ing episode.
It's just public domain music.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty much just replace them with library music.
The greatest hits of public domain.
Please twinkle, twinkle, little star over every scene.
You're wrong that I want to start a band now called Public Domain.
But God help you if you try to sing Happy Birthday.
That MST episode where they make the Public Domain karaoke machine.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Well, before we go, here's some food for thought. I just stumbled upon an article that debates the fact that Tom Hanks's career is a urinary morality play. And it points out the pissing scene in League of Their Own, when he drinks all the Dr. Peppers and Forrest Gump, when he leaves the house having to pee in the burbs. The peeing statues in the money pit, peeing in a tube in Apollo 13, peeing into the ocean in Castaway, and of course, this whole character arc of Green Mile.
My God.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about John Cusack. How many movies has he had where he stands around waiting for somebody to return love while he's getting rained on?
That's kind of his thing.
He does.
I can think of like four different films where that happens. It's like, really? Is this just like one of your trademarks? You have it written in your script? I need a soulful love rain scene.
So if you put that and this Tom Hanks list together, what do you get? R. Kelly.
You get Tom Hanks peeing on John Cusack.
That, oh my God. We could travel through time if that ever happened. Folks, thank you very much for listening tonight. Stay tuned for the projection booth. For Kevin Daly, Josh Hadley, and Alex Jowski, my name is Charlie McMullen. Thank you for listening to Geek Juice Radio. Please visit our website, www.geekjuicemedia.com. You're welcome. Good night, everybody.